At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Petrified Podcast. I'm your host, Damian Martinez, here with my co-host,
Eric Lover.
Thank y'all so much for tuning in, guys. We hope you enjoyed last week's episode on our Appalachian cryptids. Little short episode. This week, we watched a documentary. It's been popping up on my feed. You showed it to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
It is called Accursed Man. It's about a guy who goes around pretty much to different religions and asks them to put a curse on him. To prove that, is it actually real supernatural stuff, or is it just the state of mind that you're in when this stuff happens? And a lot of eye-opening stuff from this documentary. I will say, be warned, if you are very affected by energy in any certain type of way, I don't recommend watching it. But we're here to talk about it because we're a little skeptic, on it. We do believe in spiritual stuff, in a sense. That people can actually, conjure up some stuff. But this documentary was different. he is very curious about the spiritual world and witchcraft.
Certain facets of the
spiritual black world. Magic, yeah. In particular, curses and stuff like that. And he pretty much wants to see if it's real by experiencing the negative, whereas as some people, you know, they want to get spiritual. They want to experience the lighter side of it, the divine, I guess you could say.
Yeah, the blessings.
Yeah, but he doesn't. He wants to experience the dark side of it to prove to himself that, like, okay, there is bad and good out there, spiritual-wise. But after watching the documentary, I have mixed feelings. I really do. There's some things that he does that I'm like, dude, come on. Like, you don't know what you're messing with. And then there's some stuff, like, I'm just like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't know how passionate you are. He claims to be very, very passionate about what he's doing. Obviously, he interviews several people. I'd say from, like, three different belief systems.
Yeah.
He first goes to, in California where he lives, he goes to, I'm assuming they're pagans in their belief. And they pretty much talk about, like, different curses and stuff like that. I don't have a lot of knowledge in paganism, but from us talking,
yeah,
you're from that area, and
I do know pagans, and I do know certain things about pagans. I don't, claim to,
Yeah, you're not like
I'm not a
a follower,
theologian, or believer, or anything when it comes to that. But I've known pagans. There are pagans in my life, and while I did understand certain aspects of it. His first encounters, they just seem kind of, I mean, really, truthfully, it's what you would expect from any person with a belief system.
Yeah.
They're like, why would you ever want to venture down this road? Why is this? Because, and honestly, this, the documentarian is Liam Leggio.
Yes.
And he basically, he lives, I mean, to me, he lives a pretty charmed life. He lives in a very nice house in California. He has his two cats and his loving wife, who obviously is loving because she's putting up with this.
Yeah, he's from the UK.
Yeah.
This is where he's originally from.
But, I mean, he's lived a very, it doesn't look like a life of, he's definitely lived a life of means. Let's put it that way. He has a nice house. He, amateur rock climber. He's got a $6,000 mountain bike in the garage. Yeah. Just chilling. And,
But he had his own stand, too.
Yeah. I have my own stand.
But
yeah, I mean, I work at a bike shop too. So
I was going to say,
Yeah, he definitely has a taste, if not this, you know, the extreme finer things in life. He definitely, you know, he's not a have not.
Yeah.
And so he presents himself to these two, you know, we'll call them pagans, and he's telling them what they want. And whereas I think the female in the group is kind of listening to what he's wanting, and that the male is extremely like down, you know, he puts him down and he definitely scoffs at what Liam is looking for.
Yeah.
You know, it basically comes down to the point of
why. And maybe it's just to deter him from going down that path. Who knows?
Possible. Maybe he's just going to shame you, you know, and basically cuck you into, you know, feeling, you know, that like you probably shouldn't be looking into this. So, of course, Liam, you know, he hears what they have to say.
They do a little ritual at the end.
Yeah.
They pretty much, they ask for, you know, the spirits pretty much to guide him into what he's looking for, which is a very dark path. And so he goes on his merry way. He goes to look for it. He goes to look for somebody to curse him. So first he goes to a voodoo shaman, if I'm not mistaken, and pretty much practices like Santeria, voodoo, all sorts of stuff that you would see in the Louisiana area. And I mean, he seems legit. You know, he has the garb on. He's talking about it. He pretty much discussing to him about his, you know, what his belief system. And he asks him to curse him. And he's like, no, like, I'm not going to curse you.
Yeah.
That's one thing I do believe. I do believe that people who are, like, believe this stuff and who maybe have seen a thing or two from it. Yeah, I'd imagine, like, they don't want to.
I would think that, I mean, anything spiritually, whether it's just, you know, the voodoo, the hoodoo, and, you know, this. I mean, it comes down to the fact of, like, you're calling onto a spirit to curse someone.
Yeah.
Now, if that person is unworthy of being cursed, it could perhaps be that, you know, you essentially have to pay the toll for doing that. Like, you have to align yourself with spirits that you don't normally talk to. You know, in order to, you know, facilitate this curse that Liam's looking for.
Yeah.
And so maybe he doesn't want to open those doors because maybe the spirits that he deals with are not malevolent. So having to do that, a cursing comes from a malevolent spirit. So maybe, you know, the fact that the first shaman that he comes in contact with is kind of like, oh, hell no, we're not doing this.
Yeah, he was very like, no, dude, we're not doing this.
Because like, even when, you know, he recants the tale of, you know, basically his own... Because basically he does all of his practice out of his own residence.
Yeah. He has his own altar. He has everything.
Yeah. And so somebody, he recants this tale that somebody came into his residence when he was gone and stole something from him. And rather than like going full throttle and being like, I'm going to curse this guy, he actually put the word out in the community, hey, just return the stuff. And that way, you know, like nothing happens. Well, obviously the guy doesn't listen. And according to the tale, it's not verified or backed up. But according to the tale that he tells, the guy passed 7 days later.
Yeah.
So it seems to me like he doesn't really travel in these avenues of these malevolent evil spirits. He knows they're around, but he doesn't really, you know, that's not his, you know, that's not his cup of tea.
Yeah. Yeah, so he decides to go to an actual hoodoo priest.
Who is the one person in the whole documentary who has no problem.
Yeah, and that is probably the one that I do believe is, like, out of this whole documentary, is probably the one that if you watch the documentary and you see his mannerisms when he first talks to him, when the subject of cursing comes up, his demeanor, like, completely changes to a more malevolent, like...
It's sinister.
It's very sinister.
Yeah.
Because he's, like, talking to him and he's, like, discussing about, you know, the belief system and... what they do, what they practice. But when it comes to the cursing, he's like, he's enjoying it.
Yeah, it was very Doc Holliday, like, I'll be your Huckleberry kind of thing. It was like that. It was almost like that was his cup of tea, and he wanted it.
I mean, he's laughing through the whole thing until he finishes the ritual, and he gives him the hex bag. And he's like, you will wear this, and, you know, things will happen to you. It will start with nightmares, then you'll start to feel anxious, and then, like, that's when, like, the physical harm starts to come into play. Starts off mentally, and then it's, like, physical. And when he's done, like, he changes back, like, to himself, what it looks like. And Liam asks him, you know, how do you feel after you just cursed me? He's like, I feel pretty evil, man, like. And you could tell, like, he doesn't know how to, like... react.
Yeah, he doesn't know how to process it, but he does feel like almost joy from having, you know, proceeded with the act and actually done it. So
who knows, man? That was the only part I'm like, that's pretty.
That was the one person I've got to say, like, out of this whole thing that, like, I can unequivocally respect. Like, there's other little things that happen throughout this documentary that I just question. But this is probably the one purveyor of the dark arts that I'm like, that guy's got some moxie. Like, that guy,
yeah.
That guy, I'm buying his shtick. He definitely is not acting this out. This is real.
Yeah. Not saying that the other one wasn't either, but there was more to him that, like, you could see, you can kind of see, like,
I don't know if it was, like, good editing and they just made him, like, seem, you know, very, you know, almost like Mephistopheles, like, you know, bartering this curse. Like, but his mannerisms and everything,
they
jived. It was, you know.
Yeah, so now he's cursed. He has the hex bag, and he tells him, you know, if, you know, no matter what, even if you, like, have this thing, like, in your luggage and it's, like, or it's, like, at your house, it's still going to affect you.
It's still tied to you,
yeah. Yeah, but it's going to affect you more when it's around your neck. So he wears it, and he decides to go to India.
Well, first he goes and has, like,
this
gambit of scientific testing, because it kind of goes from, you know, we're looking at the metaphysical realm,
yeah,
to where we're, you know, going in and we're doing, like, brain scans and stuff like that, because he's equating the fact that, obviously, almost like psychosomatic, you can kind of control your surroundings. And
Pretty much just saying, is it just the breakdown of the mind, or is there actual supernatural stuff there? Well, if you put yourself in a place where you're not used to, especially if you're not spiritual, and you start seeing crazy stuff, it's going to stress you out to the point to where you start having, like, nightmares and stuff like that. Because his biggest thing was, like, the nightmares. He was having nightmares about, like, killing his cat, or, like, bad things happening, being held hostage, stuff like that. Again, that could be either way, because he's putting himself, like, it can either be the actual, like, the supernatural going on from the curse, or it could just be his state of mind because of the situation he put himself in. You know, now, if he was, like, unknowingly cursed, like, if someone did it behind his back and then stuff started happening, then you could say, like, okay, that's more supernatural. Like, that's not state of mind. That's, like, he's going through some stuff because he doesn't know this person is cursing him, or, you know, there's something following him. But he knows, like, what's going on around him. He knows he's being cursed. So that's where I'm like, ah, dude, see, if it would have been done a different way, I think I can invest myself more into this documentary and be like, yeah, dude, this is proving,
I think that's one thing that could have been done with this. Like, as far as cursing goes, if you were not physically in those situations, like, let's just say you find, like, five spiritual, like, groupings, and you want to basically prove this, you know, this thesis that, like, you can be cursed.
Yeah.
You send them, like, what they want, like a piece of your clothing, something that ties to you, a lock of hair, something like that, and you send that across, and then you just sit back and kind of see, you know, aren't actually exposed to these people, and they curse you at different times.
Yeah.
So you could be cursed, and then something kicks in, and or like, say the person goes through, and they don't speak it out. Because if I sit there, and I'm, like, looking at you, and I'm like, you're going to have nightmares. It's almost like hypnosis. It's like, you're getting sleepy. Well, yeah, if you're telling me I'm getting sleepy, and I'm, like, you know, psychologically, like, looped into your spiel, I'm going to be like, oh, I'm getting tired, man. Yeah. Man, I need me a Monster energy drink. But at that point, like, I think that would have played this, you know, this whole documentary out better if you had sent the people, the practitioners, what they were asking for. And at different times throughout the year, they basically instituted it, and it was their timing. They cursed you. And then you examine yourself over the course of 365 days, and then you're like, on day 17, I felt like this. And then you find out, hey, the black magic hoodoo man cursed you on the 15th, and 17, you started displaying XXX.
Yeah.
That's going to show more. Whereas, you know, basically, if I speak into your mind and I'm sitting there and I'm like, you're going to have nightmares. Yeah, well, if I speak unto you that you're going to have nightmares and you're susceptible to this thought process, you're absolutely going to, like, loop in, and that's going to be where you go.
Yeah.
So that's one place I thought that this documentary could have gone a little bit better. But, you know, it kind of was all over the board, because now we go from the scientific standpoint to where we're going to go to a completely, like, more earth-based esoteric deal, and we're going to go to India.
Yeah, so he goes to India, and is pretty much, well, which in India, it's banned to practice black magic. Any kind of dark magic form, it's banned. So it's all white magic that they practice over there, or it's, you know, just pretty much the good. And he's looking for somebody to, you know, again, put a curse on him. They find somebody who knows, that's the thing, is like, not necessarily practices it, but knows of it and has dabbled in it. That was one thing. It's like, you know, they dabble. So he's like, yeah, but we're going to do the ritual in the mountains. Like, we're going to do it in the wilderness, in a cave. That's how we do it. So they go. He's like, okay, fine. And, the tour guides are like, hey, man, like, we don't know who this is.
Yeah, they're trying.
Which is rightfully a good rightful concern. Like, hey, dude, you're just going to wander into the woods with some mysterious man in a different country. Like,
it's not. But it was also made to, like, this. I feel like this was much ado about nothing because there's this big, huge buildup. So the white practitioners, the white magic practitioners, and we were talking about this, the white magic practitioners, they're all dressed in white.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, come on. First of all, they're like esoterics living in the wilderness with animals and everything. I am not wearing white. Sorry, I don't have that much bleach and that much laundry detergent. And don't get me wrong. These people are not like, you know, they're not, you know, like dirty living in the woods, hair filled with twigs. Like your typical standard, what you think of when you think of a Hindu esoteric.
Yeah.
It's not there. And then, like, they're all clean and clean cut and everything. And the surrounding area is pretty nice itself, too.
Yeah, that's one thing I did notice.
So then the guy comes out in the ninja garb. he's ninja man. He's a pure dark, a shuriken stuck to his back. And they're making it seem, you know, like these guides who they speak very good English. You could tell they're educated. There's like a high level. They're multicultural and they're educated.
Yeah.
So his guides are like, oh yes, well, you know, I don't know if you should do this, and he wants to take you into the woods, and we don't know, and. You know, finally he's like, dude, this is my resolve. I'm going to be cursed.
Oh, he's a photographer.
Yeah.
Tour guide. Yeah, he's a photographer.
So they're like, hey, let's, you know, okay, you go ahead and go with him. So now this earthbound esoteric, he has staff who, like, help set everything up for him. So they disappear out into the woods. Now, they're saying that most of due to the fact that it's, you know, it's taboo for you to practice this dark magic. So with it being taboo, it's in the middle of the day. We're going to take you out and, like, walk you up. And they're making it seem like you're hiking, like, you know, 12,000 miles up Kilimanjaro or something. So they get up to the top and, you know, like, the staff start the fires and, you know, get all everything prepared for the cursing.
Well, it wasn't so much a cursing.
Well, that's what he's looking for.
Yeah.
Which is another thing that I didn't get. It didn't really present itself as a curse.
It was more of a meditation session.
Yeah, it's a meditation session to open yourself up to the dark magic of India.
Yeah, and the guy asks him, he goes, so how do you feel? Now, who knows how long they were meditating for, because obviously it's a documentary. Some stuff's going to get cut out.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, he goes, I feel relaxed. He goes, good, that's good. And I'm like, well, first of all, man, this isn't a yoga session. Like, this, you know, you're looking for the darkest of the dark. Of things. You're trying to go into the darkest corners of the supernatural to find whatever it is you're looking for. You're not going to find that in a meditation session, you know? And he's like, yeah, I feel real relaxed. So he's like, okay. He goes, well, you can wait here and meditate as long as you want. Well, if I'm going to curse you, I'm not going to tell you to meditate. I'm going to make sure that you know that it's a hostile environment, pretty much.
Yeah, and they keep flashing to this imagery of, like, literally, like, you know, I mean, first of all, I don't know all the Hindu gods, but it's like Kali, like cutting heads off. It's like the female spirit cutting heads off, and all this stuff, all this imagery that they're throwing your way. They're just flooding your senses with, like, these evil-looking entities. And which, you know, and it comes down to the fact that, like, in a lot of cases, in obviously, you know, Hinduism especially, from the little nominal knowledge that I have of it, it basically comes down to the fact of, yes, kind of gods have duality in nature in Hinduism.
Yeah.
So there's good sides, just like Kali. Kali is not intrinsically evil. She's the feminine force. And yes, if you do mess with the feminine force, she's going to lob your freaking head off. It's going to happen. Like, understand that, yes, there are, you know, there's a bill to be paid at the end. And so that will happen. And that's karma also, and it's retribution. But there's all this imagery, and then they go into like this nice meditative state. And like you said, he's, you know, oh, well, you know, you stay here as long as you want. And he's feeling more peace and contentment than cursing.
Yeah. And that's my thing, too, is like you're looking for a curse. I don't think India was the way to go. I think the way to go was to look for it. Like, just, I mean, there's a lot of places that that practice very dark stuff. You didn't have to go that far, honestly, when you lived in California.
Yeah.
You know?
That's what I'm saying. Like, and we were talking about that before, you know, we came to record. Like, growing up in California, you know, he could have gone into, you know, East Los Angeles. Many brujerías in East Los.
Yeah.
There's tons. Church of Satan. Not only is there an active Church of Satan in Los Angeles that has participating members, most notably Marilyn Manson, many other people who have had, you know, Kat Von D, many people who've had their affiliations, and the actual church itself is at the Big Black House in San Francisco, 7.5 miles from downtown Los Angeles, where he could have basically gone.
Yeah.
It's a smorgasbord. It's an all-you-can-eat.
Yeah.
You could have found any of this. You didn't have to be a world traveler. You didn't have to get your passport stamped to find this knowledge.
Yeah. Yeah, because...
But after, you know, after his, you know, wicked
Indian he goes to his therapist. I'm assuming it's his therapist.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly. And he's talking about the nightmares that he's having. He can't sleep, you know. So it's either what he's putting himself through. But then again, after he went from India to back to the States... You know, I feel like, you know, maybe it's, you know, maybe it is the curse. Who knows?
But not only that, it comes down to the fact of it's two different practices. He's going to a therapist. There, for the most part, unless you go to an actual devoted, you know, therapist, most therapists are pretty ambiguous when it comes to faith.
Yeah.
And, you know, certain ones will definitely infiltrate with faith. I mean, us being here in West Texas, I can tell you, looking for a therapist that does not have pretty much a fundamentalist Christian belief system is pretty difficult. Yeah. A lot of your problems arise from the fact that essentially, you know, Satan himself is kind of like finagling with you, or you're cursed in a certain way, for lack of a better term.
You got a Baptist therapist.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Pentecostal throwing a snake at you. And I was Pentecostal, so I could talk about that before we get some hate mail. But yeah, literally, like, you know, it comes down to the fact of most therapists distance themselves. Even if they do have a belief system, they don't really, you know, matters of faith, they don't really participate in too much.
Yeah.
But his therapist, you know, goes on and analyzes his, you know, his nightmares.
Yeah.
And
yeah, and pretty much that. You can tell it's somewhat affecting him. You can tell, like, he looks tired. He looks somewhat tired. He's, you know, nightmares are getting to him. Now he's feeling more anxious.
Could also be because he just got off a 14-hour flight from Bangladesh. I mean, come on.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. It could be that, too. Yes. But you can tell, like, it's taking a toll. So he decides to go to, which I don't know why he didn't just start there in the first place. He goes to Mexico and to one of the cities that is very well known for its Satanism. And he goes there and meets with this priest and basically is teaching him, like, about what they practice, you know, what kind of version of Satanism they follow. There's very, very, like, there's many of them. And he's pretty much telling him, like, yeah, if you want, you know, if you want Satan to, like, curse you, like, then just ask. That's all you got to do is just ask. Write it on a note. We'll do a ceremony. And then we'll go and we'll, you know, put it at the altar. So he's like, okay. So he goes through the ceremony. He watches a chicken get sacrificed, which I think that's when he was like, okay, maybe I've bit off a little more than I can chew. So he's like watching this, you know, chicken get its head cut off and sprayed everywhere. And the whole thing, we were talking about this, it was like a festival pretty much. You know, it looked like, you know, just pretty much like, you know, they're just celebrating.
It looked like the fiestas. If you've ever been to Mexico, basically, like the major, even non-major cities, you have the people who are from there. Typically, annually, they have what's called a fiesta.
Yeah.
And so, basically, it's a call back home. So, if you've moved away, like, let's say, like, you're from, you know, Nuevo Laredo, you know, you're from Laredo, and you're going through, and you get called back. You go every year. You meet up with your family. You basically have, you know, it's a homecoming.
Yeah.
And so that's what it seems like, because they're doing all this, like, you know, they're going out to the end of the dock, like the jetty, and they're walking around, and, you know, they're calling and blowing conch shells and stuff. And they're doing, like, traditional stuff that you would do at those, you know, at a fiesta. And so then, you know, but as night falls on, you know, the plaza, then they do other ceremonies.
Yeah.
And that's when, you know, the chicken comes out and the, you know, the bloodletting and stuff like that. And, you know, obviously not everything is shown on camera. I'm sure there was a lot more to it.
No, there probably,
you know,
was, yeah.
It's edited for content. And, you know, I'm sure there are sacred things that they're not going to show you.
Yeah. And then they decide the next day to go to this cave where they say that, you know, that's where his presence is the strongest, and you can talk to Satan there. And so he writes his request down on a piece of paper, and they blur it out because apparently it was, like, very, very, like, I don't know what he was asking for.
Yeah.
Who knows? And he puts it at the altar. They, like, bow down to it, and then they walk out to see what happens. He did say that was, like, probably the most intense experience of that whole journey. And I get it, dude. Like, you just...
Yeah, you're in a foreign country. I mean, like, even, like, the cave that he participated in, the, you know, the deal in India was kind of like an open air.
Yeah, this was one, like, was like a
this
back
one
cave.
Was like, yeah, you had to walk. Like, you got rowed in by some lady in, like, a makeshift raft kind of thing. And you went in. And then, you walk in, and there's, like, garland and Christmas lights guiding you in. And there's liquor bottles and devils and, you know. By the way, I had no idea, like, having seen things in Mexico, I had no idea that their devils had such penises. Because, like, every demon has, like, you know.
Giant
phalluses. In, you know, I would expect that more in India, you know, because you get, like, you know, very, you know, sexual in nature, you know. Lots of breasts and stuff, but yeah, no. The devils in Mexico got you beat hands down. So, but yeah, so.
Yeah, he has that experience. He finally does. He goes back to the States. A couple of weeks go by, and he's like, you know, all this curse talk, you know, has got me, like, sleep deprived and having nightmares. He goes, I got him away from mountain biking, so he goes to go mountain biking. So he films his, like, MX video.
Yeah.
No, he films his, like, BMX video. And he's having fun.
He's showing off his skills.
He's showing
too.
Off his skills, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that was a, like, you know.
It was like, yeah, this is about curses, but look what I'm blessed with.
Yeah, exactly. Y'all ain't got it like this.
So he goes Tony Hawk Pro Skater on us, and he
biffs it.
I don't know what happened.
It looked like he endoed. It looked like he, like, took a jump and maybe his front wheel hit a little too hard. His suspension basically went down. Suspension did what it was supposed to do, and he basically went endo. He went over the handlebars.
Yeah.
And so he biffs it, and then comes the suffering.
Yeah. So, yeah, in the ritual of the hoodoo priest, he says that he will be stricken at the knee.
Yeah, his legs and knees.
Yeah, and he was like, oh, my gosh, like, this is what he said. Like,
yeah.
That would happen. Because it first started with the nightmares and the anxiety, and now it's, the knee.
The dreams. Yeah, it's all, you
know. Now, mind you, when I think about a curse, I'm thinking, like, you're going to get your knee blown out. Like,
I'm thinking meniscus is, like, torn everywhere. It just, like, you know, there's just, you know, compound fracture, you know, fractured tibia coming out.
No. He gets, like, what, 4 stitches?
I think he got 6 stitches.
He scraped his knee pretty much.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he hit a rock or something, piece of fell wood.
Yeah.
And, you know, it caused a laceration.
He was lacerated, and it was swelled up a bit. And then they took his tests. They did blood work on him. And he was worried about, like, you know, with all the curse talk, like, maybe, like, it's going to, like, curse him with cancer or something.
Yeah.
But he was fine. You could tell he was a little emotional about it. And maybe he did. There was a part of him that actually believed it for a second. That's where I'm like, you know, maybe he did believe that something spiritual was going on. But as soon as he got his test results, like, all of that went away. Like, he was like, oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Yeah, because then it delves into, he delves into, like, this, you know, but he takes it further later. we'll get into
with
that.
With his fall or his...
Oh, the health test, because remember, he had the other set of health tests sent out, but he didn't tell us.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, because remember, he has, you know, it just kind of like adds sequitur. He, like, later in, he throws on that, you know, basically his family have had particular types of cancer. And kind of through the whole, like, myriad of these events, he's been thinking about that. So, you know, due to the fact that he's so impoverished from these curses, he's gone to the specialist, and he's gotten his test results back.
Yeah, and maybe it is a state of mind. Who knows? But, yeah, he was fine. He was good. And then he goes to get cleansed.
Yeah.
So he goes back to the
original
two people that he, you know, he had gone to the first time. The two, I'm assuming, again, that they were, like, pagans.
Yeah, they had the green man behind them, so, I mean, if we're wrong, we're wrong. But, yeah, they basically, you know, the gentleman who speaks pretty much for the two of them and the coven or the group that they lead, yeah, he definitely, you know.
Yeah.
He gives the pagan vibe, in my opinion.
Yeah, he kind of looks, again, dude, he looks like the guy from freaking Orange County Choppers.
Yes, he does kind of, he has a semblance to Paul Senior.
Yeah, and then the other girl looks like Carol Baskin, so yeah, you have that. And it's not a too much of a diss on them, but it would be hard for me to believe, like...
Well, then they, like, so he goes back to them, and they're basically like, oh, you know, once again...
Well, he shows them the videos of what happened.
Yeah, in a condescending way, obviously, you know, the leader of the group is kind of like, yeah, you know, you kind of got what you asked for.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you find what you were looking for, like, you know... And so... Obviously, at this point, you know, he's, you know, he believes he's been cursed to a point, and he wants that curse removed or whatever.
Yeah, and maybe the nightmares did get to him. Maybe there was a lot he was leaving out of the documentary where he wasn't telling people what was going on.
Yeah.
Because he just said he had nightmares, and he only elaborated on one of them. Who knows, like, what kind of terrors he was probably having? Who knows? I think he should have added it into the documentary, because that's the whole point.
I think he should have, because basically it could have been, like, even with what we were just talking about with the whole, like, you know, the other myriad of tests that he had at the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Maybe the fears and everything from the satchel were playing with his mind, and he was starting not to sleep, and maybe that's why he went and got the brain scans and everything else that he had done throughout the course of this documentary.
Yeah.
But they don't really tell you that. He just keeps moving.
Yeah, he's just trucking along.
You know, but on top of that, like, if you're used to being, like, Joe 9 to 5, and you're at home with your wife, and you're doing your day gig at your job, and then you come home, and you're with your family, and your two cats, and you know, yeah, if you're, you know, jet-setting around the world and going into, you know, caves unknown with, you know, Gorlock the Sinister to try and find, you know, a devil curse, yeah, I mean, that's going to mess with your head.
Yeah.
You're not sleeping. You're eating airplane food. You're eating foreign food, which, I mean, in honesty, unless you're really used to it, I've been to Mexico. Yes, there is that whole non-preservative thing where definitely it tears your guts apart and you can get Montezuma's revenge. And then on top of that, you're in India, where on top of that, you know, basically the street food and food that you're unfamiliar with, man, it could have been ripping his guts apart. He could be spending more time on the holy throne of the porcelain than any, you know, any, you know, your bowel movements are your curse to yourself.
Yeah.
So, but that being said, you know, the pagans decide that, you know, hey, you know, we can remove this for you.
Yeah. So they do that.
So off to the Angeles National Crest Forest, which is just literally a stone's throw from, you know, not a stone's throw, but, you know, it's about 45 minutes outside of, you know, downtown. You can get there relatively easy.
Yeah.
On a weekday. So, you know, they pull the whole coven because they're going to, you know, they're going to take this curse off this man.
Yeah, that he needs to be cleansed quickly.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not a follower of that faith or that belief system, but... I don't know, man. Again, maybe I'm just I just judge, like, way too much, like, on, like, if I got to see it, like, I got to make sure, like, if I go see, like, go to eat Chinese food, I want to see, like, some actual Chinese people there.
Yeah.
I don't want to see Derek, you know, cooking the food. I want to.
Hey, guys.
I want authenticity. If I go to a Mexican restaurant, you know, I don't want Kevin back there cooking my food. I want, you know. I want Juan back there. I want authenticity. That's just me, though.
I think that's everyone. I mean, I would be skeptical if literally, like, I go out to eat and I'm like, what do you want? oh, I want a freshly made tiramisu. I want baked catfish. I want this. I want that. And it's a smorgasbord of different, like, national foods.
Yeah.
And there's one guy back there, and that guy is Luigi. I'm not trusting that.
Like, yeah.
And so they do, you know, like I said, obviously it's edited for content, so it's not going to show everything that was done.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
But it was very, you know, remedial. You know, I mean, what they let show, obviously there was probably more to it, but what they let show as far as them taking off the curse was kind of like introductory 101 in any faith base. This is what you do. Obviously, it was also kind of like mixed with a, you know, great helping of, you know, common logic. If you're wearing a satchel that someone has cursed around your neck, we're going to basically put that in this cauldron and we're going to, you know, basically like break it down.
Yeah.
You're going to tear it open. You're going to break it yourself because you know, by yourself entered into this agreement with whatever spirit's binding you.
Yeah.
You're going to take it apart and, you know, walking in a circle, chanting, obviously, some, you know, declarations on your part, declarations on people that are helping you.
Yes.
But, you know, in the end, it comes down to the point of not that I didn't. The part that I found, like, insincere about the situation was you have these pagans who definitely, you know, might not believe in every system of what's cursing you. And, I mean, obviously you've shown them videos of where you've been and what you've done. If you have a demon affixed on you by a brujaria and you're sitting there, I am not necessarily going to go to, you know, the first Lutheran pastor that I see or Lutheran priest and be like, hey, can you break this curse? And the Lutheran priest is going to be like, oh, well, just, you know, basically go through it and do these five easy steps and a blood pact with Satan is automatically dissolved.
Yeah.
That's what I felt, you know, kind of, you know. And the crazy part about it was, like even we said, the hoodoo priest seemed to be the one who got the most hold on him. Yeah. Like, that seemed to be, like...
Yeah, that one felt like the one that...
That took hold.
Yeah.
You know, because everything else, but once again, it seemed, like, easy to resolve. And, I mean, I can obviously approach things with an ounce of skepticism, but the fact that it made it look so easy. Like, you can just go down the street, like... I mean, you're saying that you've cursed people. Like, people, you know, there are people who have been cursed.
But the hoodoo priest was using actual ingredients. He was reading. He was doing a whole thing, a ceremony. He had the alcohol. He was like, dude, like, this is what has to be done. Like,
yeah.
I'm not here to put on a show. I'm here to curse you, and that's what's going to happen.
But the Hindu priest or the Hindu shaman had an iPhone 8. I mean... Yeah.
Again, yes. Yeah. You cannot tell me that you live in these mountains and this is all I do, and then you're going to show me your latest iPhone.
Yeah.
That's just, I don't know, man.
And see, that really brings that. And so, you know.
It's just like we were talking about earlier about the televangelists.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but you can't preach that you're a good man, that you follow God, and you walk in humility and this and that, and then, you know. Right after ceremony, after the great mass that you hold on television, you go out to your private jet and you just say, you know, just go, burn the atmosphere.
Yeah.
And then go and, like, act like an asshole to other people.
And so with this, you know, they go through and they break the curse. You know, they do some, you know, some curse blocking stuff. And, you know, they go through and... You know, the curse is basically, it's dissolved.
Yeah, it's gone.
You know, it's rectified. Again,
that's where I think that, you know, maybe he just needed that ceremony to, like, put in his mind that he's okay.
I think psychosomatically it was probably more soothing.
Like the placebo effect. Actually,
well, absolutely. Yeah. I think that's more or less what it was. Because, like I said, it was, you know, it was pretty rudimentary. It was
Only thing is the way they carried themselves. Some people, the way they carried themselves. Because... You know, coming from a Hispanic family, we've seen people that have actually practiced actual, like, brujería.
Yeah.
And they follow the craziest things. They're not coming out in tights and booty shorts and wearing devil horns and being like, yeah, yeah, I suck Satan's dick, this and that. Excuse my language. But I'm just saying, like, yeah, that's the way they were presenting themselves. A lot of people that I've seen, one, they don't talk that much. They are very, they're like a hermit, pretty much. Yeah. They keep to themselves. And they're very, like, in their clothing, it's very, yes, it's very black and dark, which is the common, but it's very respectful. Like, they're carrying themselves with respect. Like,
well, also, if you have a belief system in anything, I mean, you are reserved, just to speak on faith in general. If if you walk into the church on Sunday morning, you're like, yeah, Jesus, come on, Jesus. You know, Pastor Wiggums, come on, baby, let's get going. You know, that's very disrespectful. And you don't get, like, typically most, no matter what religion you are, even, like, if you're looking at monks and stuff like that, you can't just run to any monastery and look, like, for a Buddhist monk or anything like that and just run in and just be like, Buddhist monk, bless me. Buddhist monk. That's not going to happen.
That's true, yeah.
And so that's kind of how I felt. These people are giving up their knowledge. This is, like, these are ancient practices, most of this stuff. This is not something that's just fly by night. You can't just fly down into New Orleans. Like, yeah, you can meet charlatans pretty quick. But a real, like legit, like, you know, hoodoo priest, that's typically not going to happen. You're not going to find the upper epsilon. You're going to find a lot of charlatans and a lot of fakers. I'm not saying that these people had any part with this documentary, but literally everything just came really quick, really fast, and that was really the feeling that I got from this. It felt really rushed.
Yeah.
And maybe that was an error on the part of, you know, Liam, that he wasn't really going into the depths of what he had to find. But that, once again, is what I think I found with the fact that it was so diversified. If you would have found one grouping of people and stuck with it and shown that basically, like, hey, I got cursed, because I've seen people who legitimately think that they're cursed. Yes, they have nightmares. They have a lot of psychosomatic stuff going on. They feel like they've been cursed. They feel like their whole life is falling apart into pieces. They've got a lot more than 6 stitches in their knee and a mountain biking accident. And I could see, you know, if, you know, if you were doing nothing and, like we were talking about earlier, like you fell down a cliff and a random just unfortunate events, like a Lemony Snicket's, you know, the series of unfortunate events just unravels before you because, you know, you have this spirit on, you know, wrecking on a mountain bike. I mean, if that was literally the case,
you're doing something dangerous already.
Dude, I have biffed it on a bike so many times. Now, does that mean that, like, you know, basically, like, due to the life choices that I'm making, like, you know, some spirit is like, hey, I'm going to take you out today and you're going to fly out. I mean, I hit a freaking rake and flew onto a piece of concrete and bashed my face in. That, like, never once did it cross my mind that I'm cursed.
That's true, yeah.
It happens. And everything.
Like, and I don't wish for the downfall of this guy. I never wished for anything truly bad to happen to him. But if you want something bad to happen to you, I gotta see some.
Financially, he was in no arrears. There was nothing financial. Okay, although, I mean, and his wife seems disinterested in the whole situation.
Yeah.
So maybe, I don't know. Maybe there was already a problem there to begin with. It's not like their marriage fell apart. But she just kind of, I'm sorry, if I go home and be like, you know, hey, honey, I'm going to go out and, like, you know, go to the satanic black mass out in Leveland tonight and, you know, basically sacrifice a goat to, you know, El Diablo. Like, she's going to be like, oh, hell to the no. I mean, I can't even go to, like,
our 100. Any loving partner, whether they have a belief system or not, if I told my girl, and she is, like, let's just say she didn't have a belief system and I was curious. I was just like him. I was very curious about, you know, the other side of the veil. And I say, I'm going to go to Mexico and go to a cave with a stranger to see if the devil's real. Now, devil aside, she's going to be like, well, first of all, you're not going out into Mexico with a stranger to see if the devil's real, because you might not come back. That would be, like, the concern. Like, dude, you're not going to do this, you know, at all. Like, just, like, even, I understand he makes documentaries. He this is what he does for a living. But show some kind of concern, man. Just be like, hey, you know, I don't really think you should do this, you know, spiritual or not. Like, I don't think you should be wandering the mountains with, you know, people who are, like, you know, I don't know, vagabonds or whatever, just, like, you know, doing weird stuff. I don't think you should be doing that at all. You know, whatever practice they're doing, I don't care if they're singing Kumbaya around a campfire in a cave. you're not going to do it with strangers.
Yeah. You probably shouldn't put yourself in that situation.
Yeah.
And I understand that she's good. She's supportive. She, like, backs his play. And she's like, okay, cool. You know, you're going to do this.
Maybe this dude will get, like, beheaded in Mexico and I get his insurance.
She's like, I get the cats.
But, yeah, and who knows? Who knows what happened afterwards? Who knows how he's feeling now?
Well, yeah, once it's broken, so once the spell is broken, what basically came out at the end is he does go and he talks to his wife about the spell being broken and how he felt like he was being affected. And then he goes through and he also says, like, that when he went and, you know, had all this stuff go on, you know, with his mountain biking accident and this kind of stuff, that, you know, it had been concerning him that, you know, his family's had certain kind of cancers.
Yeah.
And so he went and got tested for all these cancers and everything came back negative. And that's pretty much how the documentary ends.
Yeah.
And so it was kind of like it was a combination plate with two egg rolls on the side. Is all I got to say is what this documentary was.
What I was expecting when you first showed me the preview of this documentary, I was thinking this man is going to go to every single belief system and tell them, like, curse me, like do your worst, pretty much. Like, whatever you believe, the opposite of it, like the worst of it, whatever good you believe, I want the opposite on me. He went to two that actually cursed him. Well, one of them, when he went to Mexico, they didn't even curse him. He asked to be cursed. And they're like, all right, that's it. Like, we'll just see what happens.
Yeah, they just wrote stuff down and they were like, oh, we're just going to present it. And basically, like, you know, Lucifer and the kind giving nature of Lucifer, he, you know, whatever you need, it was like, you know, it was like the Buddha at the Chinese food restaurant. You know, the Buddha that's not really a Buddha and it's just like a big fat guy and you lay like a quarter or whatever in front of it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, basically, if you think good thoughts and rub it a couple times and leave the quarter there, like it's going to grant your wish. It's like a wish master. And I'm like, dude, these curses and these spiritual entities are not wish masters.
Yeah.
And so that's just the feeling I got off of it. It was like the same thing with, you know, the Hindu shaman. The Hindu shaman is blessing him in the name of Shiva. Well, he's talking about a completely different god. Shiva's a different god than it wasn't Kali.
Yeah, so pretty much you're saying like he should have stuck with one.
One. Like I said, he should have basically like done his research. If you're going to make this a successful documentary, do your research. Look up build a good rapport first and foremost. Don't just walk into somewhere. And if you want to be like disrespectful and kind of like just popping in on people and like, hey, curse me. Then
that's what he should have done. He should have been like laughing in their faces.
Yeah, he should have been like, your belief system is hot garbage. And due to the fact that it's hot garbage, there's no way that you can curse me and make this happen. And that it should have been done with the utmost of disrespect.
Yeah, the only way you're going to get it.
Yeah, it was done with a huge amount of respect. Well, if you respect it, then really, truthfully, like...
There's no reason to curse you in the first place.
You haven't trespassed anything. You haven't crossed a threshold. So why, you know, the line's still drawn in the sand because you're standing on your side saying, hey, I'd like to see it. You know, it was almost like, you know, Artie in Christine. Yeah. Show me.
Yeah.
And then the car, like, regenerates itself and he's like, oh. Yeah. And then basically it possesses him. But that's not how this was. And, yeah, the way that they made this look was like he's, like, backwoods. He's, like, crawling through caves looking for bog monsters.
I'm not saying he didn't have any passion for it. I think he should have went about it a different way. You could tell he had some kind of passion for it, that he was genuinely curious. He wanted to find stuff out. But if you want the bear to attack you, you got to poke it. Like, you're not going to just be like, oh, look, there's a bear over there.
Yeah.
Hey bear, can you do some bear stuff?
I smell like peanut butter. Come and get me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, you got to be like, hey, I'm going to kill your cubs, and then you'll get the attack.
Yeah. Like, and that's kind of what I felt. I mean, I don't know, like I said, editing, I'm not familiar with. I don't know if, like certain things that were a bit more excessive were edited out. I can't understand why they would be, considering the marketing that was put, you know, to this documentary.
Yeah.
Because it all made it seem like it's like, man jumps into hellfire, smacks Lucifer in the face. And it was like, Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. That's exactly how it was.
It really was.
I mean, like, if you watch, and that's where I felt like deceived. By the time that it got to the scientific premise of everything through halfway through the movie, man, I was like, you know, it's $6 on Amazon. I was like, give me $3 back. I'll turn it off right now. You refund $3.
I think that was kind of it for me too. Like, if you're going to tell me about the supernatural, just give me the supernatural.
Yeah.
I don't want no scientific like studies. I want to just like, man, this dude was cursed and look what happened.
I mean, there wasn't even anything like remedial level. There wasn't even like, you know, basically going in and doing a Ouija board or a seance or something to spark a demon.
There was a lot of pictures of like, you know, the Ouija board and stuff like that. I'm like, oh, dude, he's about to go into like a seance and do something. Nothing. Again, dude, I mean, come on, like.
That's like 101.
Get in there, man.
That's
get
like there are 13-year-old girls like basically signing on at Barnes & Noble to get a Ouija board to basically open themselves up
to demons. And they get possessed by a demon.
Exactly.
Just do that, man. Yeah.
Yeah, there was none of that, though. There was no, like, you know, base level, like, this is where we're going. It was all...
Like, if he really wanted to experience something, he should have got a bottle of spirits. He should have gone home with his wife and said, look, babe, this is silly, but I want to try something. And then, you know, light a couple of candles, turn off all the lights, and do, like, a Ouija board seance. Like, look up a tutorial on YouTube. They probably have it there. And then he could have just been, like, he could have either, you know, saw some crazy stuff or nothing. And there's your answer, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know what else he was like. If he really wanted something evil, then he should have been like, let's do it. In my house, I'm going to drink some spirits, and we're going to do a seance, and I'm going to ask for the most crazy stuff to happen to me.
I mean, and I'm not promoting this in any way, but you could have even done like an ayahuasca trance or like, you know, gone and done, you know, peyote or something, where obviously like different cultures and such do these things basically to open themselves to spiritual entities.
Yes.
You could have gone through and done that and basically, you know, opened yourself up to that experience and you probably would have gotten a result.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously you couldn't really prove that it wasn't psychosomatic if you like, you know, take a hallucinogen. But on the same premise, you couldn't prove that half the stuff that happened in this documentary was not psychosomatic. So, I mean, really, but yeah, there's a lot of different ways you could have gone about it. And honestly, you could have saved yourself about $4,000 in, you know, in travel fees because you didn't have to pay nothing. You could have done this all in LA County.
Again, even the voodoo priest even told him, he's like, dude, you looks like everything's going well for you. Why do you want to be cursed? Like, why do you want this? He's like, oh, I don't know. Like, at the end of the day, I think he's just bored. He's like, screw it, come on.
Well, I think it definitely, I mean, this time of year, you get people that obviously do, you know, the veil is kind of thin. At this time of year, there are definitely things moving on both sides. So I think
he was traveling during the summer, though.
I think in that, but, you know, the release, you know, I think it probably came after fall. And then he's like, hey, wait a minute, you know, like this is a good, I mean, the timing, obviously, late September to release the documentary, that looks like, hey, I'm going to get cursed at, you know, the mouth of Hellgate. That, you know, that definitely, because like you said, the imagery, very deceiving. It was just definitely like full on. And it wasn't really like a whole lot of, you know, it didn't even go into like the paganism aspects or the hoodoo aspects. It was all like full throttle, like, hey, we're going to the Hellgate. We're going to take you to Satan's den.
Yeah.
And even when they presented.
That's the thing, too, is, like, when he was talking to the Satanist, they weren't even, like what you expect. They were just like, no, like, they're more Luciferian than they were Satanist.
Yeah.
So, which there is a difference.
Yeah.
I was like, no, dude, you need to go to, like, somebody who was like, yeah, man, like, dark eyes, like, you could tell, like, something.
Like, the cursed ones. Yes. Yeah, you need to go someplace. You know, it would be like trying to be like, hey, you know, prove to me the miracles of God.
Yeah.
And then you go to, you know, I'm not going to throw any names out there, but let's just say a very refined Christian church. And then, you know, it's very, you know, we dress appropriately. And then you're like, dude, I need to see the miracles of God. And then you go down to, like, some down south, you know, Southern Baptist Pentecostal church where people are coming in the same clothes they've been working in all week. And, you know, they're living off the land. They don't have two nickels to rub together. And they're looking for that miracle. And that miracle appears. That's who you look for to see a miracle, is the people who need the damn miracle. You don't look to the people who are like, oh, man, I drove in here in my Hellcat, and my wife drove her Range Rover.
You might as well just say Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen.
Well, no, that's actually, that's kind of the opposite side. That's,
Oh, that's true, yes.
You
don't go to them for miracles.
You don't go to them for miracles. You wouldn't look to them for miracles.
That's where he should have gone to get cursed, though.
Yeah. Kenneth Copeland would have drained that bank account.
You want your finances gone, man? Just give it all to Kenneth Copeland and Joel Osteen. You'll be fine.
He needs a new jet.
Yeah, he's got a new jet.
He'll lock you outside in the middle of Katrina.
With his demon-looking face, dude. Yeah. And us, we're not trying to mock this documentary. It was very interesting to see. And I think it should have been done, if he truly... I don't wish bad upon this man, but he's wishing it upon himself.
Yeah.
So... if he really wanted something to happen to him, there was ways to do it. He could have gone he could have gone to a different part of Mexico where they actually do practice it pretty heavily.
He didn't even have to leave L.A. He could have gone to different places.
He didn't have to leave L.A. There was plenty of belief systems there. If he wanted to see some witchcraft too, that is from a different side. We just talked about him last week, the Appalachian Mountains. He could have gone to a witch up in the Appalachian Mountains who's blind, and she can...
gone to the hollows.
And she can tell your future.
Absolutely. He could have got cursed, and he could have gone through and dapped it up with pumpkin head.
Exactly. In all seriousness, he really... there's a lot of, with America being a melting pot, you already have the religions here, dude. All you got to do is just look for them. There's people who practice them here. There's people who believe in them already, or who have maybe seen some stuff that, you didn't have to go that far. You went to New Orleans, and then you went straight to India. Yeah. You could have gone to New Orleans, and then you could have gone to, somewhere in the Appalachian Mountains and looked for somebody who practices witchcraft there. And then you could have gone to maybe, not even Canada. You could have gone somewhere in the Midwest or, looked for a native tribe who actually, maybe some of them practice some dark stuff too. You have it right here in your backyard.
Yeah.
But you just, honestly, I think he just wanted to travel, and that's fine.
Yeah. Boys trip.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or you could have gone to Ireland and looked for something there. There's so many places that you could have gone.
But Warwick Davis lives right here. Oh, my gosh. You could have found the cursed leprechaun
the cursed leprechaun here.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I think he should have dabbled a little more into other stuff here in the U.S.
Yeah.
Where it's right there. You don't have to travel far.
I'm not knocking him. I mean, he had the courage to go through and make this documentary. I mean, obviously, hindsight's 20/20. And, with him having built the foundation, we obviously look at it and I'm like, oh, you could have gone through, like I said before, and, given out 12, 12 different people and see if they can curse me and then have them curse you at different times. You could have, but yeah, that's because, he had the thought to come through and be like, hey, I want to be cursed. But yeah, Mistopheles, this is not, if you're looking for Faust or something like that, where, you have the blood curse with the dark prince, this is not it. I really, truthfully, the halftime show, you lost it for me. Like anything you did above and beyond, like the scientific testing, much the halfway mark of this documentary, you lost me. Having been to Mexico, there are many unexplained things that you can see in Mexico on a daily basis.
Yeah.
There's a lot of stuff when you go out in the rural areas and ranchos and stuff that you can see. And to me,
that's where he should have been looking.
Leather clad bikini party is just, honestly.
Yeah. We really didn't kind of highlight what they were doing. I mean, it just looked like
it was a lot of stage show. It was,
It looked like, maybe some of the cryptid festivals that we have here.
Yeah.
That's what it looked like, honestly, where you're far.
It reminded me of Halloween parties because, back when I was doing my best at Halloween parties, six to seven every year. Yeah. Lo and behold, every bar I'd go to, there was a Britney Spears. And half the time they'd be exposed and they'd lay a breast on me or something like that. It was just, it was very not genuine. Yeah. It wasn't the pagan festival of Samhain. It was, obviously it was a bunch of people just going out to get drunk and party down. And that's kind of what I felt. It was...
Yeah.
There were theatrics to it. And don't get me wrong, because the Church of Satan is very, you know, they're very resolved to the fact that there is a lot of, you know, show, and there's a lot of theatrics to it. And they'll readily admit it. It you know, Anton LaVey said it many times when establishing the church. And that's why a lot of people in Hollywood find it to be, you know, so appealing, because, yes, there's a lot of theatrics to the dark arts. So that I understand. But, you know, to say that you're finding, like, legitimate, you know, big curses, yeah. I didn't really feel it. It didn't really come off genuine to me in a lot of places. And I think, like I said, once the halftime show was over, I was just kind of like, you know, you're not going to mingle if you're looking for a metaphysical curse, if you're looking for this, then there's no reason to go and basically get your head checked to see, like, what kind of, you know, psychological response in, you know, your brain waves.
Yeah, just watch it happen, man. Yeah. Just watch people unfold.
I mean, it's different if you're, like, trying to expose how a demon can get to you through your pineal gland or something like that. Absolutely. Like,
yeah.
That's been proven time and time again. That's in the studies. But, yeah, it just got really convoluted really fast. And that's when I stopped enjoying myself. And that's when I wanted my $3 back.
Maybe that's the curse, man.
Yeah.
Right there.
The curse was the fact that you took $6 from me. I didn't have $6 to give. And you could have given me $2.50 back, guy.
I get, you know, not knocking the documentary. Check it out for yourself. You know, obviously, it's a passion project for him. So, you know, check it out. You see for yourself and tell us what you think. You know, this is just what we thought about it. You know, those are just my thoughts. You know, I'm not a professional. I don't make documentaries. This is just what I thought I wanted to see. Maybe that's just what it is. And not saying, too, that there isn't crazy stuff out there, because there is. There are people that, you know, think they have the power to do stuff that they're, you know, pretty much are, like, connected to the veil. But there's always a price to pay with that. You know, and I think that a lot of people don't realize that you know, you're getting that power, but it comes out with a tax too. So I do think that there is some crazy stuff out there, man.
But if you do make a deal with something, just remember, anyone can basically break any spell. There's no, you know, signed in blood deal with the devil that can't be undone by someone else. Yeah, just a little too, like, I don't know. I'm not saying that it didn't really happen, but that was just a little too unbelievable to me. Because if you're not based in the same faith and you don't understand the binding principles of a particular set, then I don't know how you can just go through randomly and, you know, like, I don't see, like, for the most part, you know. LDS members aren't really, like, breaking blood packs with Satan. I don't really see it. I've never really seen it. It could be happening.
You never know.
Yeah. Maybe I'm just a skeptic. Maybe I'm too skeptical.
I know that it's so, there's so much, and I think that's with any kind of belief system. There's so much into it because they've been going on for so many years. Who knows what the original belief system was?
Yeah.
So, you know?
Yeah.
Who knows, man? There's some crazy stuff out there.
But yeah, go, you know, maybe the price will drop. Amazon does that quite frequently. Normally when something comes out and it's a hot item, it's, you know, a little bit more. But anyway, if this drops down to $2.99, for $2.99, I'd give it a spin. Check it out.
Rewatch it?
I won't rewatch it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, y'all check it out and, you know, tell us what you thought about it. You know, this is just our thoughts on it, what we thought, you know, he should have done, you know, to actually be cursed. And maybe that's his curse that he won't ever know. That he won't ever know if it's real or not.
Or maybe he's really cursed and he's just living in blind ignorance. Maybe they pulled the veils back over his eyes and put the scales back on his eyes and he can't see that secretly is cursed. Yeah.
You don't know, man. Who knows how he's doing right now? Hopefully he's doing good. I don't want him to be cursed.
No, I don't think it was the wisest idea to enter into it, but you know.
But you get what you ask for, man.
I hope his cats are okay.
That's all I care about too. I just hope his cats are okay.
Absolutely.
But yeah, that was our review on the documentary A Cursed Man. Go check it out. Tell us what you thought about it. Maybe we're not seeing something that y'all are. And we hope you enjoyed today's episode. We'll be back with y'all next week, so please tune in. And yeah, keep sharing us. Give us a rating if you haven't already, and leave a comment, drop a line, and tell us what you think about this documentary. But that's all we got for you today, guys, and we'll see y'all
next week.